This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh. We have an opportunity this evening to visit with Senator Chuck Weaver. And Chuck, of course, is a native of Peoria, I believe, and
That's
serves
correct.
The 37th District. And we welcome him to our studios. Thanks so much for being here today.
Terry, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And I get to Galesburg a couple of times a month. Mm-hmm. It's always great to be over here.
Yeah, nice to have you here in the studios with us and sharing some of your thoughts. I thought we'd probably tackle that stopgap funding plan that the governor was here to highlight a few weeks ago as mm-hmm. well. Because I think, Senator, back in May, you had legislation out that you hoped would, pass before either the end of May or July 1st regarding education. So I know that the new plan, the stopgap funding, provides for education so our youngsters can get back to school. But does it mirror what you had wanted originally in that proposal and the legislation I think you co-sponsored?
Yeah, in order to get this passed, let's just talk about some overall things. First,
sure.
Stopgap funding was, of course, a six-month budget to solve all the things other than education. But the education bill was a full year of funding, which is mm-hmm. really important so people can have some certainty with regard to what's going on in their local schools. The bill that passed ended up having some more dollars in it, and that was good. It was Senator Berrickman that really was working on that bill. It allowed me to then become a co-sponsor on it. The bill we ended up with, like the bill we were originally working on, provided that every school district would get as much or more than it got the prior year. And the bill that did pass accomplished that. And then it added an extra $250,000 to the schools with the most poverty in the state, which is something else that we need to be making sure we're doing a good job of.
Plus, it, as I understand it, ended proration for the first time in, what, some 7 years? Something that had been being built into the budget?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how it works with the Chicago schools. I think a lot of people downstate are always worried about us bailing out Chicago mm-hmm. and their public schools, and you
right.
often hear the word mismanagement when it comes to the public schools in
right.
Chicago. What's
right.
your thoughts on that?
Well, a couple of things. I'm really proud of what we get accomplished through Central Illinois with regard to the amount of money we spend on kids. And while Chicago public schools are spending about $15,120 per student, you will find schools through my district are spending close to half that amount to accomplish pretty darn good results.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of that in Chicago might be cost of higher living, or higher standard of living, I'm sorry, but some of it's also inefficiency. And so, in my role, it's very important that we make sure that just because Chicago has a lot of power in the state does not mean that we should not be certain that we're getting a fair amount of state funding here into these local schools.
Statewide pension reform seems to be, outside of the budget, one of the hottest topics in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the stopgap funding plan, as it's related to us, says this will be a chance for pension reform. So will it be?
Yes, there are two things out there for pension reform. Our hope is that during the lame duck session, January 1st to January 10th, we believe that's our best opportunity to get some things passed. We're hoping that the leadership comes back ready to make these kind of tough decisions. But with regard to pension, there's two things out there. One of them is President Cullerton, who is the leader of the Senate, presented a billion-dollar plan that would save $1 billion in pensions. The governor immediately said, I will accept that plan, and I'm ready to pass it as soon as Speaker Madigan is ready to bring it forward. The other thing is the governor has also set forth about $800 million in savings that he can get through two or three different mechanisms that allow us to make sure we are still guaranteeing that the workers' pension's in place, but also doing some smoothing with regard to how funding happens. So between those two, $1.8 billion is a step in the right direction.
There was a plan put forth, maybe about a year and a half ago that then didn't meet the criteria?
Illinois Supreme Court mm-hmm. said that was not constitutional. That's correct.
Do you think this is a better
Well, the interesting
provisions?
Thing on this one is it is brought forth by Democratic leadership and theoretically should have a better understanding of what will be accepted by the unions. But there's also been talk that this may not pass muster. We certainly hope that it will. And I know I'm impressed with President Cullerton's willingness to bring that forward and try to solve the problem. I think it's important that people understand that we've made a commitment to people that have earned these pensions, and I think they need to be comfortable that we're going to try to do everything we can to keep those protected. We also have to understand that probably some pension guidelines need to change for the future because the workplace is not what the workplace was.
When the governor was here, I asked him, I said, do you think you'll meet before the elections? And he said I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I thought he said I'd be happy to. But
I'm certain he would be happy to. He would like to get all this resolved as quickly as possible.
Would you be happy to?
Of course. Yeah, they could call me at midnight tonight, and I'd be down there by 3 a.m. So, yeah, we'd love to get this solved. There's too many people with uncertainty, and Lord knows we've had so many people that have gone through a lot of pain over the last few years with regard to things not getting funded properly.
Well, you know, Senator, too, we've been talking about the fact that this is just a six-month stopgap funding plan.
Correct.
And I know when I visit with representatives from social service agencies, they have a real concern about maybe getting some money until December, but then what? Because they're already probably in what I would call a catch-up period, even if they are getting some funding from the state. And I don't know that it was really clear, at least not to me, who would get what and would they all get some and was whatever was appropriated enough?
It's all over the board with regard to where dollars are going. And, you know, the universities, for example, the state universities are getting funded about an 80% level, whereas junior colleges were at about a 44% level, which gets them through this semester. Same types of things are happening with different entities in human services.
Construction, I've seen a lot of it while I've been in my travels. I'm sure you have too. Is that progressing because of this stopgap funding, or were plans already in place?
So June 22nd is my birthday, so I remember the day it happened.
Okay.
And a letter went out that day saying to contractors, do not do any deconstruction because the 30th, there will be no more funding for construction, meaning if you're going to take out a culvert, don't take it out after the 22nd because we will not have time to get it back in and there won't be money after the 30th. So that was how critical this was, and that came from the IDOT director of Illinois Department of Transportation. So that we were right down to the wire there, and that was where the stopgap funding came in and said, wait a second, we have to keep our road programs going this mm-hmm. summer. We have to make sure we're funding prisons. I mean, literally concerned about whether prisons would be able to keep people fed. We have to be certain that we're providing other state services. So that's what that stopgap did. And that was not a happy day. That's crisis management mm-hmm. at its worst. And I hope I'm never put in that spot again where I have to vote for something that barely allows us to hang on. We've got to get these problems solved.
We're talking with Illinois Senator Chuck Weaver, who represents the 37th District, and talking about the stopgap funding plan that came into place right, as you say, at the 11th hour, if
Correct.
You will, to fund education for the 2016 and half of 2017. And get that in place for the coming school year. And it's nice to see all the schools registering students and knowing that they know when they're going to start and that's going to be in place. But again, I think we face real uncertainty with what happens after this is done in December. You come back after the elections and you seem fairly confident we can get some things done in the first 10 days of January.
We're dealing with ideological differences right now in their purest form. And the governor said, look, I'm opposed to a tax increase, but I'm willing to put one on the table. But we cannot put this tax increase on the table unless we change how business is being done in our state. And the reason he says that is because we did a tax increase in 2011. That tax increase raised $32 billion. But during that period of time, our bonding went down 5 times. Our pension deficit went up mm-hmm. $20 billion, and our school funding was one of the worst periods of time in the last couple of decades. So taxes, while the governor said, okay, I'm willing to do it, but I'm not willing to do it unless we also change some of the fundamentals about how we do business, because we've got to get business back in this state to help pay the freight. And specifically, you know, the thing that I think is very simple that people understand, Illinois is the third highest has the third highest output of manufacturing of any state in the union. fifth highest employer for manufacturing. We're first and second in agriculture in corn and soybeans, always first or second. There is not another state that wouldn't want to be in our spot with high manufacturing and high agriculture. Yet we have a budget that's a disaster, and last year we lost 56 jobs a day in manufacturing because of the dynamics of how we do business in this state. So the governor sees that. My fellow Republicans in our caucus see it, and there has to be some business reforms for us to get healthy.
And, Senator, you come from a business background. Am I not mistaken? I thought, overseeing some 500 workers in the KFC franchises.
That's
is
correct.
That correct?
Mm-hmm.
And right. That seems to me to have been a pretty successful mm-hmm. operation, or still is. Are they part of Yum Brands now?
They are. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was in that business, ran the family business as director of operations for 10 years and as president of that company for 10 years. We had 30 restaurants. I sold out of that business in 2003. Mm-hmm. I do home construction now, and also I've just always been passionate about the importance of business startups. Yeah. And I've done a lot of investing in startup companies, so I tell you that because I think it allows me to bring to the table some understanding of how government can get in the way of how businesses function, and just understanding when decisions are made in Springfield, they have long-lasting positive mm-hmm. and negative impacts.
And we often hear now that we may not always see big factories coming back. We're going to see smaller entrepreneurial shops and businesses, which we have a few here, as a matter of fact. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And every state's fighting for them, mm-hmm. and we've got to be competitive in that regard.
Yeah, and I think I've even asked Representative Moffitt, too. I said, what is this, lack of a budget saying to people who want to come to Illinois to do business? This just cannot be a good sign at all.
I think probably one universal thought for a business person is certainty. When I have certainty, I'm willing to borrow money. When I have certainty, I'm willing to buy. When I have certainty, I'm willing to hire employees. And I don't believe our problems have to be solved for businesses to come back, but the plan has to be in place for the problems to be solved. So our problems won't be solved for 15 years. I mean, to get our pensions straightened out, to get this budget back in line, to get our deficits paid, it's going to take a long period of time to solve those. But as a business person, if I see a plan in place that says, Illinois is acting with some common sense, people will start investing again.
So while 15 years is a pretty sobering thought, mm-hmm. you're saying a plan in place would...
A plan in place, exactly. It took us 40 years to get to this spot, so it takes time to turn things around. That's a discouraging thought, but I think we can be encouraged by that. If we can get the plan in place, business will start reacting.
We're talking with Senator Chuck Weaver of the 37th District out of Peoria. Oh, let me go somewhere lighter, Senator, and ask you about maybe your youth a little bit and Angus cattle. And my understanding is you showed cattle, and you probably think about at this time of year when the fairs are going on and everything, harkens back to something maybe you and your family, maybe you're still involved in it.
I tell people I was the luckiest kid in Peoria County. I mean, to get to grow up on the farm and get a have cattle as a kid. I still have horses today.
Good.
And in fact, I kept the horses because I wanted to raise my children's livestock.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish every kid had that opportunity to have an animal to be responsible for, because if you don't feed them, there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
You learn you got to get up every morning and every night.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the middle of the night.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for asking about
that.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. We've been talking with Senator Chuck Weaver of the 37th District here in Illinois, and we appreciate you stopping by our studios, and please feel free to make another appointment and join us on the evening news. Thank you so much for being
with us. I've heard
great
things about you, Terry, and it's fun to get to know you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh.